From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We have begun a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon.
Our devotional for today is entitled, He Will Return. The text is John chapter 14, verse 18, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He left us, and yet we are not left orphans. He is our comfort, and He is gone. But we are not comfortless. Our comfort is that He will come to us, and this is consolation enough to sustain us through His prolonged absence. Jesus is already on His way. He says, I come quickly. He rides post-haste toward us. He says, I will come, and none can prevent His coming, or put it back for a quarter of an hour. He specially says, I will come to you, and so He will. His coming is specially to and for His own people. This is meant to be their present comfort, while they mourn that the bridegroom doth not yet appear. When we lose the joyful sense of His presence, we mourn. But we may not sorrow as if there were no hope. Our Lord, in a little wrath, has hid Himself from us for a moment. But He will return in full favor. He leaves us in a sense, but only in a sense. When He withdraws, He leaves a pledge behind that He will return. O Lord, come quickly. There is no life in this earthly existence if Thou be gone. We sigh for the return of Thy sweet smile. When wilt Thou come unto us? We are sure that Thou wilt appear. But be Thou like a roe or a young hart. Make no tarrying, O our God.
Yeah.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message called The Person and Work of Christ is the Very Substance of the Gospel. We live in an age when there is much confusion and misunderstanding about the gospel. On the one hand, there are preachers who emphasize only the death of Christ to the exclusion of his earthly life and what that means for his people. Then there are those who proclaim a message designed to make their listeners feel good about themselves, completely ignoring the need to address the claims of God's law and the terrible fate that awaits sinners who die without repentance and faith in Christ. Considering the eternal implications for immortal souls, it is imperative that men and women have a clear and accurate understanding of the gospel. As he continues this message, Dr. Cairns stresses that all that God has to say to mankind, He says in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
I love to hear sermons about the blood, about the cross. And if you have been very long in attendance in this place, I think you'll be able to bear witness that this is a pulpit that never is silent about the cross or the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it ever does go silent in that, I hope that God burns it to the ground. It doesn't deserve to exist. But if any man seeks to preach the cross without understanding the significance of the life of Christ, he will end up not only omitting the life and its significance, he will end up perverting the doctrine and the message of the cross. You can't separate the one from the other. But unless you understand what Paul is talking about in this gospel that we're looking at in the Epistle to the Romans, you'd be hard put to say what the significance of Christ's life on earth was, or to appreciate all that the Bible says about his death, or to grasp the significance of his resurrection. So tonight, I want us to consider the teaching of this text, which is about the gospel of God that concerns God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. In other words, I want us to think upon the person and work of Christ as the very substance of the gospel of justifying grace. Now, the outline is so simple that a two-year-old could follow it. I wish I could say the same about every little step along the way, because we're in a verse here, a text here, that has perplexed the greatest of linguists and scholars, and they argue and they bicker and they disagree, and all I can say is if they would just forget about all that, we'll try to put them all right tonight. Yes, there are difficulties along the way here, but the main outline is very simple. First and foremost, the gospel concerns God's Son. Isn't that clear? The gospel of God concerns, it is about God's Son. And here the word Son refers exclusively to the eternal sonship and the essential deity of the second person of the Trinity. And the gospel is all about what God does in his eternal Son, what God does through his eternal Son, what God accomplishes by his eternal Son. Now, we must grasp this. We have looked at the previous verse, verse 2, and we have seen that all the Old Testament promises center on him. But they center on him in a very peculiar way. They center on him as he's revealed in the gospel. The Jews believe that the Old Testament is full of promises about Messiah, but they do not see the force of those promises as being promises that can only be fulfilled in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the gospel revealed in the New Testament. We must understand that every great messianic promise of the Old Testament centers upon Christ and the gospel revealed in him. And all the New Testament is the fulfillment of those Old Testament promises, and the fulfillment centers on Christ. So that if you understand the Old Testament, the message is Christ in promise. If you understand the New Testament, the message is Christ in fulfillment. Wherever you go in the Bible, the message is Christ. All that God has to say, he says in the person of his Son. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Everything God has to say is in and by his Son. There's not a word from God outside of Christ. That's why the ecumenical movement is so tragically wrong. That's why the syncretistic movement that has taken over America, everywhere from the White House down, is so diabolically wrong. God has no message for the world in his Lamb. There is no divine light in Buddhism. There is no gospel in Hinduism or any other ism. God's only word, his supreme word, his sole word, his saving word, is Jesus Christ. And there is none other. John chapter 1, The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, according to chapter 1:18 of John, the Son of God, is termed the Word. In the beginning was the Word. There's a tremendous depth of meaning in that one title. I can't presume to understand it, never mind preach it. I don't think the man has yet been born who understands more than the slightest trace of the fullness of truth that is in that title, the eternal Word of God. But we understand enough to know that He is the perfect and the total self-expression of eternal deity. God has nothing to say apart from Christ. He has no message except in Christ. And He is only, as we saw last week in the study before, He is only one gospel. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All that God has to do for the good of men, He does through Jesus Christ. There is one God. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now let me make some applications of that, because I tend to think that we can all agree with that, but it's very easy to depart from it in reality. Let me speak to you tonight first and foremost as what the world calls a Calvinist. I am Reformed in doctrine, a Protestant by conviction, because I believe that Bible Protestantism is a 16th century terminology for biblical Christianity. The gospel is not about God's eternal decree. To hear some Calvinists who are always on like little rats, or maybe that's not a very nice word to use. Where's Mary Christopher? Where's Mary? She's taking herself off. She doesn't want me to see her. She had a little animal that's in a cage and it gets on a hamster, that's what you call it. I never liked those things. They just looked like rats anyway. But anyway, you ever seen one of those things? And you put them there and they have a wheel and they're always turning and 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 they never get anywhere. That's the way some Calvinists preach. They have a 5-point treadmill. And you would imagine that the doctrine of the gospel was the doctrine of God's eternal decree. And I am here to tell you it is not. That is not the gospel. I agree entirely that God's sovereign decree is clearly taught in the Word of God. Election and predestination, I indeed and reprobation, they are all there. But never forget that all that God has to say about those things, He says in relation to Jesus Christ. I would to God that we as Calvinists had the wit and the wisdom of John Calvin himself. When you go to Calvin's Institutes, where does he deal with the eternal decree? He deals with it within the doctrine of salvation. It's not a philosophical thing. It's not something for people to work up into some cold clinical system. Ultimately, when the Bible speaks of God's elect, Christ is God's elect. All the others who are chosen, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, in Christ. God's decree is a decree that's in the person of Jesus Christ. And if we try to make the decree the sum and substance of God's message to man, we will end up perverting the gospel and we will miss the very heartbeat of God in the gospel. Furthermore, the gospel is not about the Holy Ghost. I'm a Trinitarian. I believe the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and first, second, and third don't mean in order of priority, dignity, or importance. Simply a way of expressing distinctions that the human mind can at least begin to grasp. He is co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and with the Son. And the Word of God says much about the Holy Spirit and His role, but always in the context of the revelation of God's grace in Jesus Christ. He will speak of me. That's what Jesus said. I want to tell you, these people who are running around saying, come and see what the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst. I saw that in a letter to the editor the other day from a Roman Catholic mocking the Baptists for daring to have a class on how to reach Roman Catholics for Christ. By the way, in a few years' time, that will be a hate crime in America. But this Roman Catholic said, come and see what the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst. And I am here to tell you tonight, if that Bible is true, and I stake my whole eternity on its truth, the Holy Ghost is not working in the system of the Roman Antichrist, where this gospel is utterly and comprehensively denied, despised, and defied. Where Christ is not honored in His gospel, the Holy Spirit is not working in His grace. Understand that. The gospel is not about the Holy Spirit working independently of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is not about us and our problems and our feelings. Oh, it's true that the gospel meets us. We need it. It's true that the gospel brings God's answer to our need. But only in Christ. Oh, I would to God that people could grasp that. The gospel has been perverted into some touchy-feely, politically correct, mousy little message that God exists to make you feel good, to stroke your fur the right way. That's not the gospel. I heard a charismatic acting out a scene that was supposed to give God's answer to some of the great problems of life, speaking to a young girl who had fallen into immorality and was wondering about an abortion. The message was given that your problem just remains what this means, I haven't a clue, mind you, but it just remains the problem of the world, the evil of the world, unless you decide to do something about it. May the Lord help us when the gospel has been perverted to the level that we go to sinners and we tell them God's answer is for you to do something about your sin. I thank God I have a far better message than that. The message is, He has done something about your sin. It's concerning His Son. The gospel's not about the church. The gospel's not about sacraments. All these figure largely in the New Testament, but only as servants to the Son of God and as means of pointing us to Christ. The gospel is all about Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.